Hello, West Liberty. You are listening to WGLZ 91.5. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today is episode 3 of our series, Passionately Vocal, Academic Affairs. Today, we will be talking to Scott Nolte, the Sports Information Director here at West Liberty. Before that, though, he was at WTRF Channel 7 for 31 years as their primary sports guy, winning several awards for his work there. He even got induced into the West Virginia Broadcasting Hall of Fame and the OVAC Hall of Fame. But Scott, let's jump into this interview, and would you mind telling me what kind of sparked your interest in sports broadcasting?
Well, I was an athlete coming up and played pretty much everything you could all the way through high
school. I played football, basketball, baseball. I ran track up through my freshman year of high school. And so I was always super intrigued and loved just athletics in general. But I knew at my abilities and things like that, I was not going to be able to continue to go on and play even collegiately, but it was something that I always really loved. And what one thing that I truly enjoyed growing up was listening to radio broadcasts of Major League Baseball. And I'm a Cleveland fan, so I grew up a Cleveland Indians fan, now the Guardians, and I would listen to their games during the summer on the radio and just love listening to those games. And also listening to the West Virginia Mountaineers. I grew up a huge Mountaineer fan and just loved listening to Jack Fleming and Woody O'Hara call the Mountaineers in football and basketball. And there was just something about that that always got me excited about listening to them and them being at the game and bringing the action to you and describing what was going on. And so that was always kind of in the back of my mind. But the way I got into broadcasting is really kind of a strange story. So I'm in high school at Wheeling Park. It's my sophomore year, which at the time was your first year at Park. It was just a three-year high school. And I'm sitting in a study hall across the hall from what is the broadcast or radio room in those days. And I'm supposed to be studying. I'm in a study hall, but I'm talking with a buddy of mine, and I've never been accused of being quiet, so I have a loud voice. And all of a sudden, I feel a hand come onto my shoulder. And I turn around and I look, and it's a man named Pat Clutter. And he's the teacher at Wheeling Park High School that teaches broadcasting. He also teaches an English class as well. And so he looks at me and he says, "Young man, two things. One, you are so loud over here that you're interrupting my class across the hallway." And I thought, oh boy, what's two? And he said, "Number two, you have a great voice. Have you ever thought about being in broadcasting?" And I said, "Well, I've thought about it, but I've really never taken those steps yet." And he said, "Well, here's the deal. You can either have detention for interrupting my class, or you can go see your counselor right now and sign up to take my class next year, and we'll forget about this." So I went, I signed up for his class, and I started taking broadcasting classes at Wheeling Park during my junior year of high school and started doing Wheeling Park High School basketball games that year. And so that's kind of how it all got started and just became kind of a avalanche of, you know, whatever following that.
Yeah, and that is one thing I saw when I was doing a little bit of research on you. Pat Clutter was actually the guy who got you the job at WTRF, wasn't he?
He was. So fast forward a little bit. Pat becomes news director at Channel 7. I started working in commercial radio during my senior year of high school. In November of 1989, I started working at a radio station called Z107. It is now today Eagle 107. And so I was working in there, and I did that even after I graduated and first started coming here to school at West Liberty State College. And then in the summer of 1993, I noticed that WTRF doesn't have a weekend sports anchor. They're having other people just kind of fill in. So I contacted Mr. Clutter, who I still called him Mr. Clutter, and I said, "Hey, if you need help, I'd love to help out." And so he brings me over. This is August of 1993. I do a little on-air test and all that kind of thing. And then we sit in his office, and he says, "Hey, you did great. We really need somebody." He says, "How'd you like to get started with us?" And I said, "That sounds fantastic." He said, "Okay, you start tomorrow." This was on a Friday. The next day I was going to anchor the weekend sports. I'd never done television yet. And so Pat says, "You can do it. I know you can. I'll come in and help you." And so next day I got started, and that lasted for a little over 31 years of working at WTRF at Channel 7, getting to cover sports.
Yeah, and I understand that you did eventually become their sports director, correct?
I did. So I was part-time still. So in the early days of my broadcasting career, I was still working at the radio station and also working at Channel 7. I did weekends at Channel 7, Saturdays and Sundays during their sportscast, and sometimes throughout the week I would report. But Monday through Friday, I worked at the radio station, which luckily was all in the same building, all at 96 16th Street. So for about the first year and a half, I worked 7 days a week. But I loved it. It was fun. It's what I wanted to do. And then I got hired on full-time, I think, around 1995. And then in April of 1996, I got brought in to be their sports director when the guy directly above me had left. And so from April of 1996 until last October, I did serve as the sports director.
Yeah. And how's your job now as a sports information is that your title, Sports Information Director?
Sports Information Director here at West Liberty. So that means that I'm in charge of covering all of the athletic teams that we have here, putting out stories about the games or events that they participate in, previews of those games, interviews with the coaches. I also cover the student athletes in terms of putting names in each week for Mountain East Conference Athlete of the Week, academic All-Americans, any other news that might surround the sporting world at West Liberty University. And so I cover all 19 teams that we have, and if there's a home event for one of our teams, I'm there. And so it's still very busy. It can be 7 days a week sometimes, and on multiple days, a lot of times, say like this weekend, on Friday, we have three college basketball games here, and then on Saturday, we have football at noon, followed by three college basketball games, all here at West Liberty. So I'll be here for all of those games, but it's, again, what I love doing. I'm very passionate about sports, and so it's really allowed me in a way to, people might find this strange, to slow down a little bit, because when I was at Channel 7, I wasn't covering just, say, one school. I was covering West Liberty plus many other schools, including the OVAC, which has 50-plus schools, plus regional professional teams. So the focus is more centralized now, which to me is a little more less stress, and I know exactly what I need to cover all the time.
Would you say that you enjoyed covering that wide range of sports in the OVAC versus, I guess, do you enjoy covering West Liberty sports more, or did you really like having all those teams available to cover?
I think I liked both, and for different reasons. I think at the time when I was at Channel 7, I loved the difference that there was multiple different sports from different schools. And I think the thing that I got the most excitement out of at WTRF was when you would go to, say, like a small school, and you would give them publicity that maybe they normally don't get. Let's be honest, a lot of the big schools that are in the greater Wheeling area, they expect it. They expect that you're going to come to their games, that you're going to put them on television. When you show up at some of these smaller schools, they're excited about it. And they're excited about the opportunity to kind of, you know, showcase their school, their student athletes. And so that was always a great joy of mine, was to give the opportunity maybe to some of those smaller schools that didn't have the opportunity to be on television all the time. Whereas here, my family has been a West Liberty family. My dad graduated from here. My wife graduated from here. I attended here. Two of my daughters have already graduated from here. And I have a third daughter who's here now. So West Liberty's been a part of my life really throughout my entire 53 years. And to now have an opportunity to kind of be inside and be on one team, it allows me to almost kind of be a fan a little bit again, because when you're in television, you know, you can't show favoritism to one high school over the other. I was a Wheeling Park guy. I taught at Wheeling Park. I still do. I went to Wheeling Park. But when Wheeling Park was playing John Marshall, I had to be right down the middle, or playing whoever. Whereas here, well, I'm employed by West Liberty University. So it's okay for me to be pro-West Lib and to get excited about what West Liberty's doing, and to really kind of get behind and feel like I can kind of cheer them on a little bit and really get involved and feel the excitement of what's happening.
Yeah. And you mentioned your daughter. I understand she's on the softball team here.
She is, yeah. My daughter, Lauren Nolte, she plays softball at West Liberty, and she's a nursing student. My older daughter, Lauren, we're a blended family. We have two Laurens. She also played softball her freshman year here at West Liberty, and she graduated 2 years ago with a nursing degree. My daughter, Paige, was a cheerleader here at West Liberty, and she graduated 3 years ago, and she is now in Daytona, Florida, with her fiancé, Dom Mills, who was also a football player here at West Liberty. He's in chiropractic school down in Daytona at Palmer, and Paige is down there teaching. So they've all had a West Liberty connection. Even my daughter-in-law, Alexandria Nolte, she's a fifth-grade elementary teacher at Elm Grove Elementary. She married my son Zachary last summer. She graduated from West Liberty University. So a lot of West Lib through our family. As I said, my wife has been involved in education now for about 35 years. She graduated from West Liberty. She's been a teacher, a principal, and now she's a county administrator for Ohio County Schools. So we're involved a lot in education, and we're involved a lot also in West Liberty, and West Liberty's is kind of in us.
Yeah, so that kind of leads me right into my next question. What was, obviously, you spent 31 years at WTRF. What was that transition like going from WTRF coming to West Liberty?
It was a little bit of a transition in the fact of, for 31 years, I did what you would call broadcast journalism. So with broadcast journalism is where, like what we're doing right now, you talk, you show images, video, mm-hmm. and you describe those images for the people at home to either see or hear to understand what's going on. Whereas here at West Liberty, it's more about the written word. So it's more of almost like kind of a newspaper style as to what I'm doing. So that's been somewhat of a transition because I was used to being in front of the camera or behind the microphone and telling the story that way. Now, one of the things that did help me was the evolution in broadcast journalism to where the internet got involved. And we had to start writing stories all the time for our broadcast stories for the internet. And so that allowed me to start developing my writing skills more and kind of gave me a little, I think, heads up in terms of what maybe next might be for me if I got out of broadcasting and just into print journalism, which is more of what I'm doing today. So there was that in terms of a little bit of change and a little bit of an adjustment for me as well.
Yeah, speaking of that change, how have you feel like broadcasting has evolved over that 31 years that you were in, you know, WTRF?
Well, major changes. Number one, when I first started in radio, we didn't have the automation like what you have right now, the computerized. So there had to be somebody there to run the stations. Now, that's not to say there wasn't automized radio, auto radio stations. There were. Those were different, however, and they were kind of, they were in the beginning stages and really weren't credible or something you could count on. They would break down a lot. So the radio station that I worked at, Eagle 107, we had to have somebody there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We played the majority of our music off of CDs. Some were off of carts. We played all of our commercials off of carts. If you've never seen those, they kind of look like old 8-track tapes. And we had cart decks that you would play those off of. If we recorded something on a reel-to-reel and wanted to edit it, we had to be able to splice and tape. Now, you know, you splice and tape on a laptop. So those things have changed greatly. Voice tracking and radio is another one of those things that we didn't have voice tracking when I started. Now, chances are a lot of the commercial radio stations you listen to, that DJ is not actually at that station. You have a DJ that could be at their home in wherever U.S., and he can be voice tracking five radio stations across the country. And so, unfortunately, that's been great for technology improvements, but it's been bad in terms of people being able to get jobs because I started out as a weekend overnight guy. That job doesn't exist now. So my job that I got into the business no longer exists. In television, when I started, I was hired as the weekend sports anchor and weekday reporter. That meant I went out, I watched the action, I interviewed people, I came back and I told somebody else what I wanted them to edit. I then wrote the story and I would voice it. As that changed, we got into what we now call one-man bands. So one-man band in television means you do it all. So if I want it shot, I go shoot it. If I want it edited, I edit it. If I want to do the interview, I do the interview. If I'm going to produce my sportscast, I produce the sportscast. If I'm going to write the story, I write the story. If I'm going to anchor it, I go and anchor it. I cut it out. I put it on the website. I write an internet story. I put it out on social media. So that went from being maybe you just did one job to now you're doing about seven. And that was over the course of those 31 years that changed a lot.
Yeah. Do you personally like, I guess, that older style of broadcasting where you have the physical media, or do you like, I guess, the modern day version where it's a lot easier to access stuff?
I think people are always hesitant about change, and I know I was when it was first starting to come through, and that's been my attitude in a lot of ways, but I think I like a little mixture of both. What we did years ago was great, but we couldn't do years ago what you can do now. And because of that, it has evolved the medium to a better level. The fact that in television, you can go out and you can go live from virtually anywhere with your phone is amazing to me. When I first started, cell phones were still kind of just in the infancy. We had old bag phones that we would take in terms of radio, doing like a live radio hit or whatever at a local car dealership. And we would do those breaks or cut-ins over a cell phone in a bag. Now, I mean, you have your iPhone, it's basically, or what Android, whatever you have, you have a computer in your hand. You can broadcast from anywhere. And the other part that we have in television now are like the backpack and fiber optics abilities. We had at Channel 7, we had a thing called LiveView, which basically was like you put a backpack on your back, you connected it to the server back at the station, and you could be live from anywhere. And super reliable. And those years ago, when I started in 93, If we wanted to do a live shot, it took probably about seven people, and it took multiple trucks. You'd have to have a truck that would be there at the live shot, sending it to another truck that would send it back to the transmitter, and then the transmitter would send it back to the TV station. And so there were all these hops that you had to go through to get live. Well, that doesn't happen now. Like I said, you have those Live View backpack units that you can go live from almost anywhere, as long as you have cell service.
Yeah, for sure. And then there was one thing that you mentioned earlier with the OVAC. I also understand that you were the host for the OVAC Banquet of Champions.
I did that for a number of years. I think probably around 20-some years, I was the OVAC Banquet of Champions host. It was a great honor. The OVAC's fantastic. It was really good to me. I still had the pleasure through the years of doing OVAC basketball championships, the OVAC All-Star football game, OVAC soccer championships we did years ago. I still, for the last several years, have done the OVAC wrestling championships at West Banco Arena in January. And so I'm still involved with that somewhat. And I was also had the pleasure of being on the OVAC Hall of Fame committee, where I had a chance for just a little over a year. It was actually the last year I was at Channel 7 before I started here that was able to be on that committee. And then honestly, once I got here, my time was really taken up. I didn't have a chance to do that any longer, but being on that with those group of people was fantastic.
Yeah, what was it like to give those athletes those opportunities and award scholarships, be able to impact personally, like, you know, those athletes' lives?
It was really neat to have the chance to watch these kids kind of realize their dreams and to have the chance to move on to that next level. You know, when you're a high school athlete, you don't want it to end. You want to have that chance to go on to the next. But you also know that you're also doing it probably to really better yourself in terms of an education. And so any type of financial support that you can receive, the OVAC has so many great partners that get involved with them and offer scholarships to students in so many different sports in a wide range. Really, I think every sport in the OVAC had some sort of scholarship that was available to them, and they were handing out probably close to about $30,000 to $35,000 annually in college scholarships. So just an opportunity to really help those kids kind of get started and get on the way.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break here, and we will be right back with the interview with Scott Nolte.
Attention. These airwaves are property of the system. Unauthorized transmissions are punishable by expulsion. Obey or be silenced.
Silenced? Every time you shut us down, we come back louder.
Your message is irrelevant. Return control now.
No, these frequencies belong to us, the ones who are passionately vocal. Not today. This is WGLZ 91.5. The takeover is complete.
West Liberty. This is Vincent. I was just talking to Scott here on Passionately Vocal, part four of our four-part series, and we were just talking about some of his impact on the community that he's had with the OVACs and some of that other stuff. But Scott, I wanted to really ask you, what is your like personal favorite sport to cover, and really why?
Well, my favorite sport of all sports is baseball. I grew up a huge baseball fan, as I was telling you earlier. Listening to baseball games on the radio, it was the sport I probably loved the most and had hoped maybe I could continue on playing past high school. I was a catcher back in the day and loved being a catcher and being involved. I had a chance when I played football. I was a quarterback and a wide receiver for certain times. Basketball, I was a forward and track. I ran some sprints. I love baseball and covering baseball, but the one sport, honestly, I think that I've loved the most in terms of covering here at West Liberty and being a part of the atmosphere at times has been football. I love being in our press box. It's a great scene to watch the game and the passion that you feel there. But I love so many other sports here too. Being at men's and women's basketball has been phenomenal with the runs that our men's basketball team has had. And also, you're a wrestler. Being in a wrestling duel, especially like last week when we were wrestling against UPJ, you had two of the best teams in the country going at it. And just kind of that excitement you feel in the arena, I think that wherever I am, if I'm at an event and you feel that excitement from the fans and from the athletes, you can't help but get caught up in it also. And I think my favorite sport overall is baseball, and that was my favorite sport to play, but covering it really has been whatever might be the biggest atmosphere. and whatever, where I really feel a great connection. I had the opportunity of covering state championships and basketball and you name it. And for many years at Channel 7, we with the championship games being at Wheeling Island Stadium, we were the hosts of the Super 6 championships on Channel 7. And so I had the opportunity for, oh my goodness, probably about at least about 10 to 15 years to do play-by-play for the state championship football games at Wheeling Island Stadium. And so that was a great opportunity and just so much fun to be a part of that. And so there's been so many great opportunities. I don't know that I could narrow it down to one. People used to always get excited because they knew I got to go cover Steelers football. And really, that wasn't that much fun, I'll be honest, because when you're at a Steelers game and you're a member of the media, you're in the press box. It's kind of homogenized because it's closed off. You can feel the crowd. You can hear the stadium, but it's removed. And then afterwards, you're in the locker room. It's packed. People are running over top of one another. And you got to lug all your equipment there. You got to lug all your equipment back. Then you got to write a story. You got to get it on. It looks great, and it sounds like it would be awesome. And for somebody who's a crazy diehard Steelers fan, it probably would be a fun day to do once in a while. But when you had like two games in a row at home, and then maybe they had you travel to Cincinnati, or we'd travel to Cleveland, or we'd travel to Baltimore, after a while it was like, I'm okay to have a Sunday where I just sit at home and watch all the games and not have to go to just watch this one game. But a lot of great experiences in my 31 years.
Yeah. And kind of just in the same vein of football, I understand you were a co-host for the Mountaineers game day. Do you think that probably prompted you to love football more?
It might have. I love college football. I do. I love college football more than I love the NFL. I love college basketball more than I love the NBA. I'm a huge college sports fan, and being on that was almost somewhat surreal because since I was a kid. Growing up, like I said, listening to the Mountaineers on the radio, Jack Fleming, Woody O'Hara, I've been a West Virginia fan, a Mountaineer fan. And then to have an opportunity to kind of be, you're not on the team, but to be a part of like the broadcast team that is telling the fans each week what they can expect or what's going to go on in that game, it was a great honor and it was a lot of fun. And getting to work with Amanda Mazey, who is the wife of former WV baseball head coach, Randy Mazey, she was such a pro. I think, honestly, in the 31 years that I worked in the industry of broadcasting, she might have been the best co-host I ever worked with. And meaning that when you're broadcasting and co-hosting with somebody, you don't want to worry about, if I stop talking, what are they going to go to? Or if I toss something to her, is she going to be able to continue to go on with it? Or whomever. With her, there was never a question, and we could just have a conversation on the air, and it felt smooth and comfortable. And that was a great pleasure of mine. Unfortunately, it just became kind of too hard with my work schedule to continue it. But those few years that I got to do it, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great. There was something you mentioned earlier that you taught at Wheeling Park High School for their broadcast technology department. What does it mean to you to be able to give back to the high school that you came from?
Yeah, this is my 17th year. I started teaching there in August of 2009, and it has been a great opportunity for me to be in this position. Wheeling Park and Pat Kletter gave me my career. Without Wheeling Park High School, without Pat Kletter, I don't know that I'd be sitting here talking to you today about a 31-year career in broadcasting, 35-year career in broadcasting, 31 at Channel 7. And so now to have that opportunity to be back where it all started, teach the students that want to learn that today, it's been just so fulfilling. It's a rewarding job. It's great. And, you know, I've had the opportunity now to help some students post-high school work towards a professional career in broadcasting or in other opportunities, and just to kind of see them improve and come up through our program brings me great joy. And the one thing that we tell all of our students, whether you're going to go into broadcasting or not, to be successful in anything, whatever career path you might go down, you're going to need to have good communication skills. So if there's one thing we can teach you in broadcast technology, it's how to communicate with someone else, how to be able to get up in front of a room of people and talk and not feel that anxiety or that stress. You might still feel it a little bit, but you can get over it. They say the number one stressor for people is if they had to stand up in front of a large room and give a presentation or to talk to a large group of people or people they don't know. And so that's one of the things that we help our students with probably the most. most is feeling comfortable behind the mic, in front of the camera, talking in front of a room full of people. And so we have a lot of students that take our class because of that. And not all of them go into broadcasting. I have a number of students who are here at West Liberty now that are in some other things. But they always come back to me. And I had one student who was mine, who's a videographer now at Channel 9. And he said to me, he said, "Mr. Nolte, I'm so thankful for those days that we had at Wheeling Park where you talked to me about a professional career afterwards and what it was going to take and what I could expect. And really, you kind of put that drive in me, and now I'm here." And so when you hear those stories, I mean, it warms your heart. You feel good about what you're doing, and you're glad that you were maybe a little part of somebody's step towards what their career is now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would even say myself that my high school broadcasting teacher definitely had that impact on me. I still stay in contact with him to this day.
Yeah. And it's a great relationship. It really is. I have some students who still text me. And I have one student, he did do broadcasting. He went to Kent State. And while he was at Kent State, he was the sideline reporter for Kent State football on their actual Learfield broadcast. And so he had the opportunity during his time at Kent State. They traveled early in the season. He broadcast from the sideline at Penn State, from Alabama, from Georgia, and from Tennessee were the places that he got to broadcast from. And then postgraduate, he got into sports information. And he's doing sports information now as well. He was at Texas State. He was at Arkansas. And he's currently at Northwestern as their number one sports information director. He's in charge of football and men's basketball. And so we text every once in a while. And a great kid, super proud of what he's done. And I think that's great. You know, those relationships that you can build in high school with your teachers. Again, if I didn't have Pat Clutter, the relationship that Pat and I had, I wouldn't have had the career that I've had. It was because of that relationship, because of the belief that he put in me and also the belief he had in me that I could do the job, that I was able to do that.
Yeah. And then kind of one last question here just to wrap up the interview. What is a piece of advice that you would give to either a person like me who's in college or a person in high school that's looking to get that first job in broadcasting?
Be diligent about it. Don't give up. You're going to hear no a lot. You're going to hear a lot of people say, "Well, I'm sorry, we don't need you," or "No, there's not an opportunity right here, right now." Keep trying. And when you get a chance, if somebody needs, say, somebody to come in and fill in for something, or if there's an internship maybe where you can take something, I'll tell you this. During my time at Channel 7, we hired a number of people that went from interns to then on-air people. Because why? They were in the right place at the right time. They had been at the station. They were following reporters around. They kind of knew the inner workings by doing those internships. Then all of a sudden somebody left. We needed to fill a position. This person's here. We'd advertise for it. Obviously, you have to. But that person already had a leg up. And then what would happen? They'd get hired. And now they're on the air. So if you see a chance, take it. If you see an opportunity, take that opportunity. Even if maybe at the time it doesn't pay or it's low pay, don't turn things down. And also, keep contacts. If you make a contact with somebody in the industry, keep it. The industry's small. It's even getting smaller now. And it's not always what you know, but who you know. And if you know the right person at the right time, like I did, it could lead to a career in broadcasting or a career that at least leads you to another stepping stone to go further in your career. I get guys now that I worked with at Channel 7 that ask me if I'll be their reference. Absolutely. And so anytime you make a contact like that, keep it. So don't give up. Keep being bulldogish about it. And if you get a chance, take it and then keep those contacts and keep control those and make sure that when you need them, you might be able to lean on them.
Absolutely. And Scott, thank you just for joining me on the radio today. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And then it was great talking to you about all the experience you have. You have a ton of experience, especially 31 years at one spot. That's not very common today. You see a lot of almost channel hopping, I guess. But thank you. This has been Vinny with a student interview here on WGLZ. Stay tuned for more student projects and great music. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.